We've got a big announcement, girlies.
We're going on tour!
We're going on tour. We're hitting the road, Jack. Woo! So don't you come back no more, no more.
We're bringing our tour, That's Showbiz, all
That's
over
showbiz.
Ireland.
You have to say it like that.
Well, oh, but I That's can't sing.
That's Showbiz.
You have to say it like old-timey American. I'll work on it.
That has to feature in the show.
We're coming to name them.
A city near you. We're going to Cork, Limerick, Galway, Belfast, and Dublin.
Yeah, sorry about the Midlands, but we can't drive and we need to access by train.
We don't really know any of those. Our geography knowledge of that part of Ireland is limited.
But if you want to come see us, go to ticketmaster.ie and get your tickets because they're flying out the door, girls. And our girlies in the UK and Australia, don't worry. Because there's exciting dates coming soon.
Yeah. Keep the eyes peeled. That's
keep
all we'll
the
say
eyes
on that.
And ears or, peeled.
And the ears, because you might hear it on here again.
Do you keep your ears peeled?
Keep the ears clean, I would say.
Anyway,
maybe.
We're waffling.
Anyway, also, link in the episode description on how to get your tickets.
Exactly. See you then.
See you, girlies. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey kids, I'm Kevin.
And I'm PJ.
And welcome back to
I'm Grandmam.
See? That was easy.
You're getting so much better.
We're getting so good at this. Shout out to all our mammies. How's everyone doing?
We're going to just keep saying mammies until you adopt it and make it happen.
It needs to catch on pretty quick. It has done. Like... Hello, we're actually still in shock at how...
I'm blown away.
I'm overwhelmed by the response to episode one.
I feel like this is what being a minor celebrity on Love Island is like.
Oh, I know I'm joking about it and I'm like, I was kind of taking the piss on Instagram and stuff, but I feel like I am an influencer now.
Like Barry's will have to sponsor us soon.
No, but I googled how to get the blue tick verification on Instagram. Like, how do I go about doing it? Because like we have blown up.
We made it to episode 2.
Whoop whoop.
And it was a struggle recording episode 1, but we got there.
We got there. We're here. Look, that's all that matters now is that we're here.
Yeah.
We're queer.
Deal with it. No, but like I feel like we learned loads from the first episode.
First of all, we have the world's dirtiest tongues. Like, there was so much content we had to exclude because we were effing and blinding.
That's one of the first things my mum said to me. She was like, you need to stop cursing because I'm actually mortified I won't be able to go to No Super Value in the morning because everyone's going to be talking about you.
My mum said, she was like, I love how you did the bleeps. That was very good. She's like, how did you do that? I was like, I just said PJ made the noise himself. He's just a beatboxer.
PJ beatboxes in his spare time.
So what else have we learned? So yeah, we need to calm down with the cursing.
I'm enrolling in speech and language therapy because I'm the biggest mumbler.
Guys, we're starting a GoFundMe campaign to get PJ to some elocution lessons.
It's mad, like, and especially because I thought I was after getting better since I moved away. Because when I first moved to London, like, I'm not messing with, no one could understand me.
Yeah.
But now, like, I thought that I was grand. Also, we've also realised how much work goes into making a podcast. Yeah. Like, It's not just recording and put it out there kind of vibe. So
we thought we bought the microphone and we were set and we were going to be chucking them out like...
Left, right and centre.
Yeah.
It is just really hard. So we thought that we'd be able to do one every week, but we think it's going to be now like fortnightly.
Also, if we're going to do it every 2 weeks, it just means that we're under less pressure to like put things together in a really short space of time. So like ultimately the content we'll be producing will be better.
There's
one more we need to address also. Guys, this is very important because we have received some...
So the Queen rang me earlier and I'm just going to have to issue a public apology to Meghan Markle.
You got it right.
Babe, I'm so sorry. Like, I'd slip of the tongue. Like, it went... Like, everyone was messaging me. Her name is Meghan Markle.
We know her name and going forward.
We know her name. We stand by her and everything. Yeah. Sorry. And like, yeah, that's it.
I think we need to get t-shirts made saying,
sorry, Meghan. Merkel, not Michael. That's our hashtag. Hashtag Merkel, not Michael.
Oh my god, that should have been the title of the last episode.
When we're at the Royal Variety performance, I'm going to actually be mortified when I meet her.
Oh my god. I heard George has started calling her Meghan Michaels just to piss her off.
We have to stop.
George, we love you.
Oh, we love you, George. Oh my god, that's another thing we have to put on a t-shirt. We love you, George.
Oh my god. Or we like do. Just Prince George gay icon or something. Prince George and then just like a pride coloured t-shirt.
Oh, when we're sorry, just back to when we were thanking people, we have to thank our incredible logo designer,
Alana Calvert from County Cork, who is just so fab. Like, we're actually obsessed.
Obsessed with the logo.
Yeah, she's fab. And stay tuned for merchandise because, like, oh my god.
We must get all the merch.
I want to get a crop top with.
I want to get a tea towel with it on.
Tea towels is such a good angle for us, for our like niche market, for our mammies and be weak for tea towels. Oh my god, how cute would a phone cover look in that baby pink?
Oh my, a biodegradable recycled phone cover.
We could do a keep cup. My god, but you're not to use it for coffee, only tea, so that we're still staying on brand.
Yeah, if you put coffee into it, it'll erupt and yeah. Explode in your hand.
Yeah, if you put coffee into it, it's homophobic.
Okay, so taking our learnings going forward and remembering what we promised, we're delivering our first theme.
Our theme for this week is...
Coming Out.
Alexa, play I'm Coming Out by Diana Ross.
She takes
I'm
so long.
Out by Diana Ross.
She needs to
on
speed
Amazon
up.
Music.
Oh!
Coming!
The year was 1993. Kevin Toomey, hitch kicked out of his mother's womb.
And I just said... Get that fanny away from me.
You can't say that. He just said, never again. I'm never looking at one
Alexa,
of those.
Stop.
We can't put that in, can we?
Oh my god. I'm so sorry. Mom, sorry if you're listening. I can't believe I just said fanny.
Oh my god. I'm
sorry.
Mortified.
Okay, but yeah, that's a good intro for the topic.
So the topic is Coming Out, episode 2. Because we were like... We can't really progress with this podcast if you don't know, like, the story of how we came out. Because I feel like that's, like, a crucial moment in any gay man's life. Being gay is a huge part of my identity, like.
Yeah, it is. You think, like, when you're growing up and you're like, oh, well, I'm just going to be the same person and I'm not going to have changed now that I come out. I'm just going to still be me. But you actually do, like...
You unlock something inside you because you feel like you can be, like, that's very deep. But, like, you do. You feel like you can finally just be yourself, not second-guess yourself, and just... Say things without thinking because you're not afraid of hiding this secret.
God is love. Revlon.
Shut up.
So I think it is important to address here also that we do recognise the fact that we're very fortunate with regards to our coming out stories as such.
Yeah, obviously everyone doesn't have like as good of an experience when they do come out. But what I would say is though that like I've never met someone who has come out even if they had a bad experience that would take it back. So
yeah,
if, like,
exactly.
If you come out, it's good for you.
Exactly. No, and there are people there to support you, and like it's better to live a life of truth. You know what I mean?
Jesus, we got very serious there.
Jesus, God. Jesus. Can we say Jesus?
Jesus, God. So I think we need to address before we go on to the actual act of coming out and telling people, like the massive red flags from when we were children that we were flaming homosexuals.
Well, like I always knew growing up that I was different. I don't know, I didn't recognise it as being gay, but I knew there was a difference.
Something off, yeah. Generally, like, camp or like gay or in quotation marks, like, children doesn't necessarily mean they're gay.
Yeah, just because, you know, you're interested in something that's typically associated with the other gender doesn't mean you were gay growing up. We're children and we're innocent, you know what I mean? But there are red flags as well. I had the yin and yang going the whole time. I had the gay and the straight, like...
You know how to play that game.
I was just... No, I can do both, honey. She's versatile.
No, but, like, the first time I met you, like, I was like, gay, 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 It was going off, honey. It was going beep, beep, boom, 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 scash, scash. My gaydar exploded into a Lady Gaga tribute.
Yeah, but, like, I do have, like, these moments... Like, that I can still remember that I kind of thought, looking back now, that was me being gay.
Yeah.
Like, there was a moment, I remember, there's this guy, and I can't say names for fear, because actually, because we've gone so global, he could potentially be listening, and it'd be so weird. But I want to make it known that
what
I was...
if he listens and then comes to London to say, me too, Kevin. I think we need to say his name.
I'm not saying his name because it's so feckin' weird. But the thing is, it's even weird talking about it, because obviously I was a child, like, it was in primary school.
If right. You remember this story, mystery man, you drop us a DM and we will reunite you.
But I remember it wasn't any more than first class, so I'd have been, what, like 7 or 8, maybe. Mm-hmm. And the teacher said, okay, who wants to sit next to her? Boop. And I...
You
remember...
were like, oh, honey, you ain't gonna tell me twice. You started voguing over to the table. You said, kakada, 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 boom. Yes, hey, cutie. And...
But I remember thinking, my arm is going to fly out of my socket. And I was like, I was touching the ceiling. And I was
what
like,
you?
7 or 8. And I was like, I just really wanted to sit next to him because I, like, it's because I thought he was cute. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was, there was, and I know I was young and people say, have different opinions on, like, when does attraction come into it? But I was like, oh my God, she's hot. Get me sitting next to her. And I remember being so nervous sitting next to him.
Sis teacher knew. She was like, oh honey, let's pick Kevin. He wants
Kevin,
us.
Get over there.
She was like, she was Cilla Black in you. She was like, blind date. You, honey.
She goes, you've done the hard work. Get in there and make me proud.
So if that boy remembers that first class seat change and you felt it too, DM us for Kevin.
It's scary
love.
That I remember. I just remember when I was young, all my friends' mams used to be weak for me because, like, I was always the first to compliment when they got their hair done.
Oh, me too. You know, I think tells that you're gay. You notice when women get their hair done, all mams love you.
Yeah.
I was going to say you're clean, but you're like next level. I'm Marie too. Kondo, yeah. Like, throw it away if it doesn't smack joy clean.
I know. As well, at the school parties, you know, and I went to an all boys school, all the lads would be out doing bits. I'd be inside having the chats with the mams, having a scream. And that again was primary school, so that was like major red flag, Gaylord.
My first red flag when I was younger, looking back on it, I don't know how I feel it then, but I used to be obsessed with silk scarves. I used to love them. I think I was about 3 years old. But my mom had a box of like silk and like pure glam fabric scarves, and yeah. I used to be loving them. And
really?
It like tags off, like obviously at first it was like tags off pillows and stuff, but then I couldn't rock that as a look, so she started giving me her chiffon.
Really?
I was
come
living.
On chiffon.
And then so I think that was the first time I was like, oh my god, this is a bit weird, because I remember a passing comment or something being like, oh look at him, like fairy or
really?
Whatever.
I remember I always wanted to try on my man's heels, but there was an awareness at the back of my head that if I did that, then I was almost definitely gay. You know what I mean? So I couldn't
Kevin,
do
we're
it.
We're putting you in heels this weekend and you are addressing that shame. Other times I thought I was gay was that, well, thought, knew I was gay, was that I did love just hanging around with the girls and like doing things that I felt more comfortable around girls. And then what I used to always be, I was always get kind of scared when people used to ask me when I was younger, like, oh, is that your girlfriend now?
Yeah.
Or... I remember being like, I need a girlfriend because I don't want one, but I feel like I need one because everyone's asking me, do I like her?
Exactly.
And I was about 7 as well. So it's like, they think it's weird being like, oh, guys don't know they're gay when they're that young. But then you have the whole society in Ireland being like, do you have any girlfriend in school?
But that's the thing. But I remember I was definitely the last person in my friendship group to kiss a girl. So like, if you're not from Ireland, we call it meeting. And like, you know, I used to always avoid going to the discos, like, even though that's like a coming of age like milestone for young people in Ireland, is like your first teen disco. I used to just panic thinking about them. And I remember at my first disco, and what would happen is you'd go around and your friends would ask girls like to meet you.
Yeah, what was that about? You would literally just go, I used to be the one to do the asking because I was really fat when I was younger, right? But like, you used to be like, oh, go over there and ask her to meet me. And then you would just walk up to this girl
it's
and be like, sorry, will you meet my friend over there? And then she'd be like, yeah. And then she'd go over and kiss him.
But I remember at my first one, like when people were asking for me, or like sometimes like I'd get a girl ask me about her friend. And I remember just being like, no.
Not with those shoes, honey. Not with those pumps.
Oh my god, get that rara skirt out of my face.
Is that a kitten heel? Rara skirt, don't need her at that day.
think when I really started thinking about the whole gay thing was when that was the go-to insult when people, you know, if I got an argument with someone in school or something and they'd say, like, they'd call me faggot or they'd call me gay or something. And, like, that's when that affected me, because I'd be like, well, why is everyone calling me the same word?
You know me too. Oh, my God. I used to always be like, well, it's obviously everyone's always thinking it, and they just use it as a slur when they get angry at me.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, like, some people would just say, you're a ma'am or something to someone, but they'd always call me gay.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, or did someone say to my sister before or something, like, your brother's so gay?
So that was the thing. So I went to the same secondary school as my two older brothers. So when I was in first year, I remember my brother's friends, like, they used to call me Sergey for some reason.
Oh, no.
And I remember at the time I used to hate it because, as well,
Sergey's a fat name now, though.
I'm kind of weak for Sergey in a way. But also, like, I remember at the time, I'd always be mortified as well if they said it in front of my brothers, because I was like, there's an acknowledgement of, oh my God, I'm embarrassing my older brothers because I'm the young
gay lad. I'm actually getting so emotional here because I'm thinking of all the past trauma. I'm literally up the walls. I'm going to be bawling. I'd be on the wine in a second. I'd be throwing away the berries.
I had a Spice Girls poster in my room, and I remember, this is ridiculous, but I was obsessed with Baby Spice, and I don't think any of my siblings know about this, so they're screaming now if they're listening, but I used to go up and brush Baby Spice's hair with the brush.
On the poster.
On the poster, and I used to be like, oh my God.
I eventually just accepted I was gay, but I was like, okay, I'm gay, but I'm not going to ever come out.
I never had a girlfriend growing up, and I knew I could never have one, very much for that reason. Like, on nights out, when I started drinking when I was 18, like, I'd end up kissing girls on night out, but, like, it would always be fun.
Player! Kevin going up to all the girls like, hey, babe.
No, but, like, I used to just pass it off as, like, a laugh, and maybe, and, like, I'd have to be pretty drunk, you know what I mean? But then the weird thing is, it got to a point where I was so paranoid that I felt on a night out, even if I was kissing a girl, like, I sometimes felt that they were doing it for a laugh, like kissing the gay fella, or I felt like that other people were looking at me being like, oh, look at that poor girl kissing the gay fella in the room, you know what I mean? Because I just thought, everyone in this room knows I'm gay. That's when it became an issue for me. A huge insult for lads, like, growing up was to be called gay. And they would get so offended, and it's like, and that's why I hate, like, these days when someone says, oh, don't do that, like, that's gay or whatever. No, because it's like, there's children growing up who are hearing that and just
it's so
associating
bad.
The word gay with something bad or negative, and it's like, that is damaging, you know what
so
I mean?
So damaging. Like, Lizzie McGuire is an icon. Have you ever seen that video where someone turns to her? She's in this department store. Lizzie McGuire, Hilary Duff, the actress, she's in this department store, and some girl goes, that top is so gay. And
really?
Then Lizzie McGuire comes out of nowhere and she goes, being gay isn't an insult. That's not cool.
Yeah.
A cute top, by the way. And walks away, and I'm like,
oh my God, let's link that episode.
I was living for it. I was like, Lizzie McGuire is a gay ally.
That's ridiculous. I love it.
For those of you who don't know who Lizzie McGuire is, look her up.
Look her up, because why would people not know who she is? If you don't know who she is, stop listening to this podcast, because it's so irrelevant.
Her film is also iconic.
Oh, the Lizzie McGuire movie. Again,
another gay classic.
Gay moment was
Sing For Me, Paolo.
Have you ever seen such a beautiful...
That is a pride anthem, because then she goes, now everything's technical.
Oh my God. Hey now, hey.
If that isn't a Eurovision Song Contest entry, oh I don't know what is.
Again, another gay flag. Like, did I miss a Eurovision? No, I didn't.
I think we just have a Eurovision episode.
Oh my God, because it's coming, well, it'll be in the next few months. So yeah, we could definitely do a Eurovision special.
I think as well, though, it's important to note that, like, you do have some really dark thoughts, and we're saying all the funny kind of, like, bits that we felt kind of uncomfortable, or like red flag bits, like, that we're making a joke out of, but you do actually get quite depressed, basically.
Yeah, but like, there is, I remember, like, so many sleepless nights throughout my teenage life where it was just at the back of my head, and I couldn't go to sleep because I was thinking,
oh my God, so fucking gay.
I'm the gay lord.
Yeah.
But like, and again, I'm laughing about it because, surprise, that's my, like, coping mechanism. But like, it was like where I just couldn't sleep.
That's why you look better now, because you're getting a proper night's sleep. That's why you look better since you came out. When I was younger, I had the thing where I just wanted someone to ask me, was I gay?
Really?
Like, I don't know why, I just wanted, no one ever, like, sat me down and was like, PJ, like, are you gay?
Yeah.
And I wanted someone to do that so I could be like,
oh my God, see, that was one of the things that, like,
you feared.
Definitely feared. Like, my mom, she used to say, oh well, so you'll never have a girlfriend, kind of a thing. Like, in my head, that was her being like, knowing I'm gay.
Oh.
You know what I mean? And as well, like, she'd be getting ready on a Saturday night, my mam.
And watching this,
we'd all be in the house. My sister Sarah would be in the room as well, in or downstairs, yeah. And she'd be like, "Kevin, come up here." She go, "Does that look all right on me?"
Well, if you see the way Sarah dresses, I won't be asking her for advice either. I'm joking, Sarah. Sarah, I'm only messing, Sarah.
Oh my God.
She's gonna kill me.
So even from a young age, I was a gay style icon.
I used to do my mum's hair.
Really?
I used to blow dry her
that's
hair.
That's so cute, though.
I still do. When I go back now, she'd be like, say, oh, Peter, do my hair now in a minute. And I'd be getting well into it. Like, I feel like I'm Michael Guiney in Cork. The hairdresser. Is that his name? No, that's the clothes shop.
Michael Guiney's your
John
so
Gainey. John Gainey. John Gainey. I'm really bad with names.
You're so sorry.
John Gainey. It's a hairdresser's in Cork called John Gainey.
Michael Guiney's.
Michael Guiney's is a department store in Cork. You're going there for the bits. You're going there for your linens. So, right. For me, I came to London, started going to a musical theatre college, and I was, like, just seeing all these gays, like, being themselves, and I was like, oh, I was getting the courage to come out, and then, like, I was like, okay, I think I'm gonna come out this year. I knew it was gonna be sometime this year, and then, like, unfortunately, like, a few months after I moved here, like, my dad passed away, which was obviously, like, the worst thing ever. I went back to Ireland, and he was in a coma when I got back there. He was the first person I came out to, which is I'm actually getting kind of emotional because, but he was like, he was in a coma, and like, I went into the room. I was having this like crazy, like weird, like moment when like I was the only one in the room, and they were saying like people can still hear you when they're in a coma. And I was like, I'm going to have to tell him I'm gay, because like, this is it, like, basically. Yeah. And I was like, hey, Dad, I'm gay. Like, waiting for the response. Sure, he was giving me nothing. He was in the coma. And then I just like I felt like I, even though he didn't respond, I just felt like way better for just saying
it. Having told your dad.
Yeah, so
that's
then,
amazing. You know what? I never knew that you had told your dad.
Did you not? Like, he was the first person I ever told. And then obviously he died, and there was a whole funeral and stuff, and I didn't tell anyone.
Yeah.
Until I went back to London, and then
You're not going to tell him. But
I was like, weekend. Just by the way, while we're burying my dad there, I'm gay. They'd be like, Jesus, the gays, we always turn around the spotlight, don't they?
As you going up for communion, and you go, yeah. By the way, lads.
By the way, I'm gay. Yeah, no, but like, it was, I was up to 90, and it was really a hard time in my life.
But was there a and I know, obviously, like you said, your dad wasn't responsive because he was in the coma, but was there still that weight lifting
on
your shoulders because you had told a person and you had actually shared it?
Yeah, it was like, I said it out loud, you know?
Yeah.
And that was, I think it was the first time I ever said it out loud to a person, but like, I think out loud to myself as well.
Wow.
So like, I just remember being like, I felt better, but also felt terrible because I didn't know how he responded. Mm-hmm. I always thought he knew though, like, okay. And I think he wouldn't be surprised by it, you know? My dad always knew I was gay, I think. And I think I know. I think you just know that people know. But obviously, I don't
know. But also, you're his son and he loved you. And like, whether even he knew or not that you were gay and stuff, like, you know, there's no doubt that he'd be so proud of you. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I'm going to cry now, so let's move on.
Yeah,
so
sorry.
You're coming out.
But like, sorry, but do you want to talk about...
Beat that bitch.
Oh my
Beat
God.
That moment, honey.
Do you want to talk about how it snowballed for you, like, once you told your dad and like...
Went back to London, obviously I was up to 90, so my priority wasn't then come out to everyone. It was like, let me grieve my father, like, and I was trying to get back into college and stuff like this. Whole other episode. But then you have to come out then in stages. So basically, I couldn't just be like, I want to just like megaphone Facebook status. I know why people do them coming out videos on YouTube now, because it's just way
easier.
More convenient.
Oh my God, less stress.
Then I had to come out in stages. So then the first person I told who could respond to me was Connie, my housemate. I told her.
Yeah.
And then after that, I was like, I'm just sick of being nervous telling people, and I'm just over it. So I'm just going to be really nonchalant. So then I told my other housemate, Linnea. I was just like, from the living room, I was like, Linnea, I'm gay. She was like, what? I was like, yeah, gay. and then from then on, I was like, that's my thing. I'm just going to be really nonchalant and tell everyone. So I think the next person was my sister, Lindsay. So I was going back for my nephew's christening, and she was still at home. And she collected me from the airport, got into taxi. She was like, how are you? I was like, Grant, how are you? Up to much? I was like, no. And then she was going around the roundabout by the Cork airport. And I was like, she's like, any news? I was like, yeah, I'm gay. She was like, what? And I was like, no, I'm gay. She was like, what? Like, then he crashed in the car. She's like, are you serious? I was like, yeah. God. I was like, Peach, I don't know how to tell you. So this is the way. Told her that way. Then, like, when I was coming out to my sister and my mum, there's a whole story about how my sister Elaine found out through the grapevine because Cork's so small and I felt so bad, but that's another story. But then coming out to my mum, I was like, mum. So she was out in the backyard with my sister. We were having a few drinks. Went into the living room, took a deep breath. I was up to 90 now, all right. Downed a glass of wine, filled it up again.
It's weird, the feelings are coming back. It's
Weird. So the feelings are up in my chest. Then I goes, mam, you never guess who's gay then. She was like, who? I was like, no, you wouldn't guess now. I was pure dragging it. Me walking
I
out.
I loved it though.
Me. Her. What? Yeah. I'm gay. Elaine then looking like this in between the boat. Looks at me, looks at my mum, looks at me, looks at my mum.
Oh my God.
Alright, like, it's fine.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and then I was like, are you okay with it? Like, and then I think, obviously it was a huge shock because I was just dropping these bombs on people because that's how I dealt with coming out with people. Dropping all these bombs on them. And my poor mum, like, didn't know how to process it. She was telling me it took her, like, she was grand with it. She told me she was grand with it, but then later on she told me, like, it did take her a while to process, like.
Yeah.
And then everyone's saying, like, obviously PJ was gay growing up to, like, my sisters and my aunts and stuff, and they were like, no. Like,
PJ was our son growing up and he was himself. That's the thing.
They were like, they didn't know I was the gay, like, until, like, when I came out, they were just like, now it's only clicking with them, like, yeah, you were so gay growing up. But, like, people.
As well, it's because you were their brother. You were your mom's son, like, she just saw it as you being you, which is lovely in a way. You know what I mean?
It was meant to.
That's crazy. I remember when you came out to me. And you kind of, well, we kind of came out to each other the same night, which is hilarious.
Was this my birthday?
Your birthday, yeah.
It was my 21st, but I was Langers and everyone came and I came out to you. Where did I come out to you? I don't remember.
In the back room on the side that no one really goes to. You know, everyone, Irish person has in the house, the back room or whatever.
Yeah, but, the other room.
The other room. Oh, take them into the other room now. But our mutual friend Nadine had told you about me and you were like, you have something to tell me, do you?
Oh, yeah.
And then you were like, it's alright, I'm gay as well, but you were lying or drunk and I was like, what's going on? One of the first people I told was Padraig.
Yeah.
And I remember, even though I'd accepted it finally in my head, I was like, even just uttering the words, and I think this rings true for a lot of gay people, is that, like, it's just so hard to say. And I remember I was like, okay, the only way I'm going to be able to say this, we were on a night out, and I was like, I'm going to have to get so drunk that it just spills out. But you won't believe
not condoning I've, like abusive alcoholic
no
drinking.
Definitely not, like, looking back, probably not a good shout, but like that was the only way I saw it being like feasible, you know what I mean, was if I got really like langers. So literally spent so much money on drink that night and kept like going up to him in the club to be like tell him and just couldn't, kept stalling. Then the end of the night I was like, I need to tell him, and we were going into a taxi and he was like, I was like, hang on there a second, I need to tell you something. And he was like, what? And he was like, just get into the taxi. Got into the taxi, I was like, do you want to tell the taxi driver? Couldn't tell him, so literally like a silent journey back to his house. Got out of the taxi and he was like, see, and I was like, oh my God, I'm never going to tell him. Anyway, it was lashing rain. Taxi driver's about to pull off and I just went, hang on. So I hopped out of the car, lashing rain. Padraig's just like getting the keys out to like go into his house.
This is like a movie.
Ran up, dripping wet. And I just said, wait. And he said, what are you doing? He was like, get back into the taxi. And I was like, I need to. And I was like, Padraig, I'm gay. And he was like, what? And he was like, oh my God. And he like just hugged me. And I was like, I had to tell you. And he was like, hug me. But then really weirdly, he just goes, I think I am too.
Oh no.
And I was just like, what? And then we kind of just brushed over that really quick. And he was like, okay. He was like, you need to get back in the taxi. He was like, I love you. And we'll talk about this tomorrow. And he's like, I'm so glad you told me. And he hugged me. And I went home and I was buzzing in the back of the taxi. The taxi driver obviously thought I was demented because he was like, what just ensued there?
You were like, taxi driver, pay Carly Rae Jepsen.
Then when it came to like telling my family, I remember I just didn't want to go. I think I was 20 years old. I was like, right, I'm going to tell them all before the end of the year. So literally kept putting it off. Then it came to New Year's Eve and I was going to my friend's house and I was like, right, well, I have to tell them by today. Otherwise I'm in the new year. You know, that just kind of was going through my head. And my mom was dropping me to my friend's house and I was like, oh my God, I have to tell her again in the car. Like, caveat, like, don't tell people in the car because like, people are driving.
Yeah, my sister nearly like, crashed when I told
honestly,
her.
Honestly, so we were coming down the hill and then she was like, you know, like, she was like, you seem a bit quiet now, like going up to the house. And I was like, yeah. Kind of looking out the window. I was like, yeah. Just, and I literally just went, I think, was like, I'm gay. And she just went, what? And she like pulled in the car. We were coming down Donnybrook Hill. And I was like, oh my God. She goes, why are you telling me in the car?
Oh my God.
And she was literally had her hands on her head and she was like, and I was like, I'm sorry. And I was like crying. And I was like, I'm sorry. I was like, I needed to tell you.
Kevin.
And she was like, but then the weirdest thing, and I knew, like, I'm so close to my mom and I knew she was going to be fine, but she was just like, and the thing is, nothing can kind of prepare them for it because it's her first time hearing these words uttered by someone.
From her son, yeah.
And I think as well, what does flash for a lot of loving parents is when they hear their children are gay, it's like the concern is for their safety.
It's always that.
You know what I mean?
I think that's what my mom's biggest
concern. And I think that's where the panic comes from. It's because they automatically grow worried for us and how we're going to be treated by the rest of the world.
Yeah.
But anyway, told her and she just went, right. And she was like, don't tell your father. Because basically it was like Christmas time, New Year.
Yeah.
And he was off work for 2 weeks and she was like, it'll be too awkward in the house. She's like, wait till he goes back to work because honestly, like, it'll just be easier. And I was like, what? But I was like, I want to tell him now. Don't want to go into the new year with
this.
Like, no,
yeah.
You can't. What the heck?
Shut up. She blared, shut up by Black Eyed Peas.
She just says, you're not to tell anyone ever. No, but then went to my friend's house, like, had a great New Year's because I was like, again, I've told my mom.
Yeah,
no,
didn't tell
me,
done.
You know, get out of the gaff. Anyway, cut forward to 2 weeks later, my dad's gone back to work, and then he literally left to collect my sister that evening from where she was working, and then my mum is like, so, hadn't spoken to me in the meantime, by the way, in those 2 weeks, about it whatsoever, and then she was going, so, are you going to tell your dad tonight or what? And I was like, what? And I was like, well, I was ready to tell him 2 weeks ago, but like, what, now I have to do it on your terms? And she's like, well, I can't keep the secret from him anymore, you can't tell him. And I was like, oh my God. And I was like crying. And I was like, Mom, it's not that easy. Like, I was like, so start crying. Anyway, my dad comes in the door and I'm like up the walls because I've been crying. So
yeah.
I was like, I ran to the biscuit cupboard and just threw my head into the cupboard. And my dad comes into the kitchen with my sister and he's like, everything all right? Obviously, my mom looks stressed off her tits. And I had my head in the cupboard. And he was like, what's going on there? And I was like, nothing, just getting biscuits.
Side note, it's weird that everyone has a biscuit cupboard in their house.
Yeah, it's so Irish, isn't it? The tree cupboard. But then took my head out and he saw I was crying and he was like, what's going on? I was like, I'm gay or whatever. And he was like, oh my. He's like, what do you mean you're gay? And I still remember. And I was like, I'm gay. And he was like, what? And he was like, have you ever been with a guy? And I was like, no. And I hadn't been. I'd never even kissed a guy prior to this because, again, I think it's the notion that Cork is so small. I was always fearful that someone would find out.
Yeah.
But I was like, I know I am. And he was like, well, what do you like about boys? And I was like, and my sister was like, Dad, shut up. And he was like, no. And I was like, Dad, I was like, what do you like about girls? And then he was like, well, I like their shape. And then I was like, oh my God. And then... And basically, again, he just, like, he had to go into the sitting room then and have a cigarette for, like, 10 minutes. And my mom was, like, she was, like, kind of crying. She was, like, well, at least you told him. And I was, like, I've told him. I was, like, I can't do... He came back in then once he'd calmed down and was, like, listen. He was, like, I still love you regardless. And he was crying and it was all so dramatic.
Aww.
And I remember just being sweating like I've never sweated in my life. Like, the heat. Like, I'm already rosacea as it stands. Can you imagine the rosacea situation at that point? And he was like, again, it was that notion of, he even said, and he was like, when I was growing up, he was like, we knew one gay lad growing up. And he was like, we used to give him such a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I feel so bad for it. But he was like, we used to call him Bum Bandit. And he was like, I can't accept the notion of like people being like that to my son. He was like, so it came from a place of worry again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's always, that's it. It's always like, they just know it's going to be a harder life because we're like, the other, you know. I felt like I got like a power.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, I love that. Yeah.
We need to hug, sorry. Give me a hug. We're here. We did it.
For me as well. So like that year I told my mum and dad that I was dropping out of university to go and like do performing arts. And I, like, my dad even says.
So you had to come out twice.
My dad says he found it easier to take, I think, that I was gay than me.
Dropping
out of university because he thought I was like throwing my life away. And look at me now with my successful podcast.
So eat them apples.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Okay, so I guess that just about sums up our coming out stories, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's obviously more to tell, but we didn't want to make this podcast 20 hours long and bore people to death.
Exactly. Know? We want to keep it commute friendly, honey.
Oh, yeah, so you can listen to it on any public transport of your choosing. Mm-hmm. Or, like, if you drive, pop that on the radio.
Yes, do it. Plug in that aux lead or whatever you kids do in the cars.
That AUX cable.
I wouldn't know what to do because I'm gay and I can't drive.
Stereotype bit. No, but seriously though, if you, like, if you're listening to this and it has affected you in some way that, like, you're not out of the closet yet, yeah, or like, or you just feel like a bit triggered, mm-hmm, like, hop in our DMs, babe, we're here to talk.
Yeah, honestly, like, if there's something you want to share and you don't know people that you feel comfortable sharing it with, like, yeah, get in touch with us and we'll offer you some, like,
lend an ear. Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Think of me as Oprah and Kevin as Gail.
Gail.
Gail's Oprah's best friend.
I'm not the best friend, bitch. Yeah. I'm Oprah.
So I'm Oprah, Kevin's Gail,
oh,
and we're ready to talk.
Guys, tell us on our social. We're going to have a poll
who's
on Instagram.
Oprah and who's Gail?
Who's the Oprah and who's the Gail? Who's the Michelle? Who's the Beyonce?
No, what about Kelly? I'd settle for Kelly, to be honest.
Yeah.
Anyway, no, seriously though, if you do want to chat, we're here and we're always... No.
That's what this podcast is about. Help it. Okay, also from Monday on, guys, we're starting something that we're really excited about.
Yeah, so we're going to start a new thing called MCM, which is not Man Crush Monday.
No, I forget what you heard.
We're not being those toddy gays who are going to post some, like, hot man. We're doing Mammy Crush Monday.
So get those pics of your mam looking all kinds of glam into us. We're talking MCM, Mam Crush Monday. I love it.
We know it won't be hard because all these mams are just serving glamour on the daily.
Yeah, so I think we'll probably start off with a pic of one of our mams, maybe.
Yeah.
But do submit them, maybe, if you have a funny story about your mam, or just tell us, like, a little anecdote or something, you know.
We want to hear that. That's the content we want to see.
Exactly. Or you know what else I love is, like, screenshots of messages between people and their mams.
Yeah.
Even something like that, and, like, or with a picture of your mam, it'd be great to
get
feature.
Get creative. Go crazy, honey.
Let's go, Art Attack.
Oh, also, lastly, we didn't have a guest on this week, mm-hmm, just because our shame was the guest. Our shame growing up. No, it wasn't. But, like, we just didn't have time for a guest with this whole... it was just a long story.
The guest was our closet. We jumped out of that bitch.
And we kicked that guest to the curb.
The closet was found shaking.
We will have guests in the future, we promise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
We just have a lot to say.
We just got a lot to say.
So, yeah, let's definitely wrap it up. Let's wrap it up in true mammy style.
Okay, go on. Talk to you later.
I'll talk to you later, Sophie.
Go on.
Nice chatting,
babe.
Go on, talk to you. Put down that phone.
Stay safe now. Go on, bye.
Go on, mind yourself. Cross the roads. Go on.
Tell your mama who's asking for it. Go on,
bye.
Bye,
bye, bye,
bye,
bye,
bye,
bye,
bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.